For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Rawr Barlow. Our kind of mess saying, just saying. Megan, you can't have a burger without the burg.
And also our super premium sponsors.
Our lucky little grandhopper, Kelly Grant.
And Lizzie Drucker. She's a fine mother.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old Robs. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast, which is new and exciting and on, so go subscribe. And here I am with my little bestie from the Westie, with his adorable face and adoptable Ken body, Mr. Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Vlog and the Banta Blender. Hello, Bean.
Ronnie, hello. I have been waiting here for about 53 minutes for this podcast to start.
It was
and honestly, I don't care whether it's 6 or 53. I've hired a nanny to take care of my board games, and I would rather be home with my board games, okay?
It was 6 minutes, Bean. I can't believe people change in times.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hello. And hi. And also, hello, Bean.
Hello. Hey, Ronnie, look. There's a cloud over there. And look, there's a field down there. I'm saying that because we're actually, by the time everyone listens to this, we're on a plane to Boston.
Oh, I was like, what did I miss from the show? I didn't take that in my notes. Where am
I? Wait, did someone go skydiving? It's like,
yes.
Whoa.
Am I skydiving right now, baby? Guys,
we just love skydiving.
If you hate this podcast today, you can't tell us because we were in the air. So suck it.
That's right. Yeah. Although if we purchase our GoGo in-flight wireless, then guess what? You can tell us.
And technology. We probably will. Why lie? guys, welcome to Watch What Crappens, Beverly Hills Day. Just a quick reminder, go buy your merch, get some Watch What Crappens shirts, etc. at watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, we're on national tour on our way to our first date of 2018 in Boston, our first two dates. The first show is tomorrow night, Thursday, where we will be doing our first ever live Vanderpump Rules recap. And then we have another show on Saturday where we will be doing the Real Housewives of New Jersey plus the top something of something. We're going to do like a list or something for that show, which we haven't announced yet.
But we'll add some sizzle to both shows, you know, to fill it out because, we got time. Why not?
Special, darling. So there's that. We've also announced a new date in Irvine. Ben, tell the folks where.
Well, it's only the most exciting place in all of Irvine. It is the Improv in Irvine, California on April 15th, tax day. So do your taxes and then celebrate with us. So don't cry into the new tax plan. Come laugh with us and try to ignore all the money you now owe, because we're going to have a good time because all of our dates have for 2018 have really been in the East Coast or the Midwest. So this is a people have been saying, but what about California? Don't forget California. Well, we're not going to because we are going to be here in our home territory, Irvine, Orange County. You know, Orange County, it's fun. Fun places, fun things down there. We always have
never
a Friday night, always have a crazy time.
Never know. Yeah. We have a couple little friendies out there.
We do.
Guys, do it. Now for
today. Yeah, watchcrappens.com, by the way, for all the links for all of what we just talked about.
Yes. Now for today, it is a huge day in season 8 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Huge! Because Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is most famous, at least in my head, for having entire seasons about the pettiest shit you could ever imagine. The fights are always the dumbest. Season one was, did you or did you not call me insecure? And if you didn't call me insecure, did you say I felt insignificant? What was the whole Camille thing?
Oh, it was about, like, who would care about Camille if Frasier's not there?
Right. And then, and it goes on and on and on. Last year was Pantygate. You know, did Erica purposely show her vag by not wearing panties? I mean, it's the most shallow shit ever. And this season, you know, after being burned by Orange County, I think a lot of people are like, are the Housewives over? No, they're not. Mm-hmm. Nope. And this episode really proves to us that it's still committed to fighting for an entire season about some of the pettiest shit ever made. So welcome to the Were You an Hour Late or 6 Minutes Late episode that will last us until episode 22.
And I can promise everyone I have specific opinions about this fight.
Girl, Ben has some strong feelings about time showing up.
Strong feelings. Strong feelings. But first we start the episode. And I sort of felt like I had a Ronnie moment because I was watching the opening, you know, taglines and everything. And when it came to Teddy's tagline, I don't even remember what she says. Something about, like, I have kids and horses. You know, she turns around. I'm like, I feel like her tagline should just be like, I'm Teddy. You know, that's like what her energy is.
I'm Teddy.
And I'm Teddy. Be the most Teddy thing she could do.
That's how it's going to be in my head from now on. I'm Teddy. Yeah.
I'm Teddy.
So we open with these clips of Beverly, people walking the streets of Beverly Hills. And we get this shot of this woman with such severe thigh gap, you know, and in this town, everyone's like, yay, that's so hot. Anywhere else, it's like, that is so sad. Get some help.
I somehow missed this thigh gap creature.
Was it disturbed me because it was like a full, I don't know how to say, like, I don't understand inches and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was like a full, like baby Kit carrot, Kat bar length, width.
Yeah. Oh, Kit Kat. So that's bigger than a baby carrot. Kit Kat.
Yeah, no, like
long.
Serious. Like it wasn't big, even thigh gap. It was like a Borden offense. Like
it's
it was
like
that wide.
Wow. It's like a credit card slot. You could just put like a slide something right through it. And it would never touch the thighs.
Okay. Credit card. Yikes.
Yeah.
This is getting more disturbing as we sit on it.
Oh, I guess people often talk about that about asses, right? The slot, whatever.
Well, that's my invention, is a slot for go-go boys. It's like the stripe machine, but it would fit somewhere on their thong. And then you could just tip them with your credit card. I mean, who carries cash, you know?
It would be great if they had a little square reader, like on an armband or something, and you just go bloop, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be great.
Thank you. You're welcome, go-go boys. Don't say I never helped you.
Free lap dances for both of us, please. So then we settle in on Dorit. She's in her kitchen with her assistant Molly, and Molly's making her tea. And Dorit is talking about her career as a great swimwear designer, and how she was showing her collection all around the world, designing for Guy Ritchie or something like that. And I was on the cusp of going to the next level, and then I met PK, and I'm like, I think that's a common phrase. I was on the cusp of doing something great, and then I met PK.
He's like the great virus that just ruins every life he touches.
He'll be part of Boy George's cabaret act.
I love that Dorit's assistant has kind of a fake accent, too. She's like,
yes.
Hello, Dorit. Would you like some lava? And Dorit's like, yes, I would. I need an Uber boost before this swim meeting. An Uber boost. And she's like, I met Parkai. And he wanted me to let go, so I did. I wouldn't take back a single dime. Like, you are out of control ridiculous. And she's like, I've called every bimbo in town over to talk about it. So all these ladies start piling in. And she's like, my loveless. I've been skitching the lawn for the past few months, and I know that because it's pouring out of me. It's going to be an amazing line. It's pouring out of me. Like all those string bikini sketches. Come on.
Yeah. It's going to be a killer connect collection, guys. I've named it Nava because Phoenix's middle name is Nava. And in Hebrew, it means beautiful. And all the women go, oh, so sweet.
Pronounced properly, it sounds like never.
Yes,
which
exactly.
is probably when this is going to start turning a profit. Never. It rolls off your tongue, don't you think, ladies?
Guys, I want to launch this for spring 2015. Oh, Dorit, I think there may be a problem with your calendar. Oh my God, guys, it's crazy. I mean, I know I'm not 2 years late for spring 2015. I think I maybe at most a week late.
At most, I'm 6 minutes late to 2015 spring.
At most, guys.
What kind of a year tries to make you look like a dum-dum?
I was on the verge of being able to tell time, and then I met PK, and he said, I want you to give up time to spend more time with children. I thought, that was so poetic, PK. Guys, well, I don't understand clocks.
What's a clock? Hey, if you watch out, if you don't watch out, I'll clock you. Kidding, I don't even know what that means.
Guys, all my clocks melted. Like, no, you were just looking at a dolly. I love my dollies.
One of the girls goes, 2017, that's big expectations, Mom. And she goes, oh no, it's the way I run my life.
Great expectations.
I don't think that ended well, but it's been a long time since I read it.
All I know is that I can imagine Dorit holed up in some crazy big mansion gathering cobwebs and dust. So Miss Havisham reference, everyone. Miss Havisham, anyone? Anyone?
Miss Havisham! A sham! What a great idea for a suit. Never! I think she's just trying to start fights with people so she can say, never! Get it as my swimwear line. It's a very heavy Dorit episode, by the way. So any of that hurt Dorit your ears, like turn back.
She was in every scene, and we really saw the limitations of what she could do with her new bob. She was like, it'll be a little wavy. And I'll be like, no, it's straight. Severe straight. And now half is straight and half is wavy. Oh, look, I put a curl in.
Never.
So
hi,
we then go
I'm
over
Teddy.
Hi, I'm Teddy. I've got kids. They always cry whenever I leave. It's, like, hilarious. They're, like, very attached. And I love my kids.
She's like, guys, just stay here and play trolls while I go have lunch with one. Get it? Get it, kids? Get it? She's like, they always cry when I leave. And her kids are like, boom, 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 you're dead. And she's like, hey, why you gotta freeze me all the time?
I'm Teddy.
I'm
so,
Teddy.
So then we go back to Dorit, and she's like, I feel like this line has to be a reflection of me, guys. And then the minion's like, you know what? Red is having such a moment right now. I'm like, it's a primary color, girl.
Red is having such a moment. And Dorit goes, such a moment. Like, I'm glad you all gathered together to realize red's a fun color.
And you know, it works out so well because PK just started representing Christaberg, you know, Lady in Red.
An ambulance just went by, even they're using it in a cross.
What's black and white and black and white and red all over? This moment. It's having a moment, red, all over.
Will red's moment end? Never! Available in 2 months ago, in stores nowhere.
Well, you know what they say, guys. 15 minutes of fame, okay? Which started about 35 minutes ago, and we're about 90 minutes left in it.
So Teddy's like, she goes into this restaurant and she's like, hi, I'm Teddy. And I'm like, okay, go sit over there.
Yeah. She's like, okay. I'm surprised you didn't see me and Ronnie in the corner, because that's, I feel like we've been in there a few times when it's been empty. So
the editors are hilarious on this show because they're playing this like mystery music. It's like, dum 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 it's like 80s mystery music, like someone's on a stakeout, you know?
Yeah. And Teddy's sitting there drinking a glass of wine, you know, upset that she's not at home watching Trolls. I'm like, please, Teddy, you should be so happy to be drinking a glass of wine right now. Also, things start to make sense for me because remember last season, Dorit was like, Mom, how did you possibly find flatbread in Los Angeles? I just can't find it anywhere. And we remember we were like, it's on Fairfax Avenue. Just go there. Just proof.
It's called
pita bread.
She actually
can't get to Fairfax, which is where this restaurant is.
Mom, see if she'd... have you been to a Fairfax? Who has a fax anymore, Mom?
Guys, faxes are having a moment, okay?
Red faxes, that
red
is.
Red fax. Red fax. All right? Okay. Okay. Thank you, my darlings. I have to go to Fairfax now. Right. And I see some red things with some person named Teddy. I'm supposed to be there in 3 minutes, so I'll be there in 45. Okay?
So you know how Maya Angelou taught us all that a person tells you right in the start who they are and you must listen. Okay, this is Teddy.
I'm always punctual.
Thank you. Yeah. You see? It totally holds true.
It's true. So we see, like, it's like cross-dissolve after cross-dissolve, 4:15 p.m., 4:20 p.m., 4:24 p.m., 4:29 p.m., 4:33 p.m. I'm now actually getting mad. I'm watching this. I'm like, this goddamn. Yeah. So then Teddy's mad. So at 4:36 p.m., Teddy sends a text to Dorit saying, "Hey, babe, worried about you. Are you still coming to our drinks? I'm Teddy." And so
I'm Teddy.
I'm like laughing because it's so passive aggressive, the worried about you part, you know, because she's not worried about her, but it's her way of saying, like, if you try to like you will never be able to accuse me of being the bad guy here because I'm actually feigning some concern about you, even though I'm not concerned at all. I'm really mad.
Yeah. She's like, if I wanted to get wasted, I could have done it in the comfort of my home, getting finger shot with my children.
Yeah, like, watching the trolls.
And every time they cut back to Dorit, they show the time and they cut back to Dorit, and she's like, "Red, goodbye, my loves. Thank you for helping me build my empire." I'm like, okay, Steve Jobs, calm down over there.
When am I going to see Teddy? Never. That's my swim line.
She's like, "I'm out of here. Check, please."
He's like, "What?
Check, please."
What?
I'm Teddy.
Please get out. Here's your check. You poured one glass of wine and water. Get the fuck out.
Yeah. Meanwhile, though, I could secretly watch Teddy sitting in a restaurant doing nothing, like, for hours. I was, like, endlessly fascinated with her just sitting there. It was, like, some weird relaxation. Like, it should have been put up in LACMA, you know? You know when they have, like, a video installation, it's usually of some person doing nothing? I could watch Teddy sitting in plan check just being like... And by the way, I hope that you appreciated the irony that this whole situation and the ensuing argument of whether or not Dorit was late took place revolving around a restaurant called Plan Check. As in, check your plans, bitch. For people who don't live in LA, that's the name of the restaurant, Plan Check.
Oh, so funny. So she's like, "I'm no Bill Gates, but I think you can talk in text," because Dorit finally calls and Teddy's like, "You're alive." And she's like, "Teddy, me love. Of course I'm alive. I'm barely functioning, but alive. I was on a phone overseas. I'm just flying back now. I was laser focused on the swimwear meeting. I realized the time. I grabbed my purse and I got on the first private jet back." And check.
Teddy, and by the way, I still love that our Dorit impersonations are wildly different.
Well,
Teddy,
yours is correct. Mine is just a general fuck worlds. You to both eardrums and the world.
Teddy, I'm alive. I got your text. I'm alive. And I was on the phone and I got so laser focused. I couldn't answer a text because why would I answer a text? I'm on the phone. I don't want to text and drive at the same time, even though I am a passenger and I have a seriously tight deadline tonight because Red is having a moment and it might be done by tonight. I hope you understand, Teddy. And Teddy's like, "Well, I have to run out because I want to spend time with my kids tonight, so..."
Like, I got a sitter. Like, it's all about her budget with Teddy. She's like, "Yeah. I paid for a sitter, so, like, I wouldn't pay for that. Like, that's ridiculous, okay? But I got one, because
I'm
Teddy."
I'm Teddy. If I were Teddy, I just wouldn't have said anything. Like, "Well, listen, I've waited here for an hour, so I've got to go." Don't say, "I want to spend time with my kids tonight," because that sounds so, like... It just sounds like, well, you can spend time with kids still, you know? Like, yes. That just sounds, that's like...
Just say, fuck like you, bitch. Simpering. I'm not here to wait for you, okay? And Dorit's like, "But Titty, swimwear! It's furious tight deadlines." I'm like, "No, it's not. It's a swimsuit." And she's like, wait, where was I?
Oh, she goes,
"I thought we had between 4 and 5, or 4:30
and 5:30. Because she's basically saying to Teddy, like, "No, don't say that you want to see your kids, because technically you're free until 5:30. That's when we booked our time. That's when the producer said we'd be meeting up." So, but Dorit doesn't understand that when you're an hour late, you forfeit the whole window. Sorry.
Well, she won't admit that she's an hour late anyway. She's well, like, oh, I thought we said whenever the furious deadlines were looming, but I was coming through anyway. It's like, no one cares about your stupid swim line, you thoughtless batch.
It's like, I'm sorry I'm late, but I didn't even realize what time it was, guys. Okay, how? And then so Teddy's like, well, how far away are you? She's like, hold on. How far away are we? And we hear the driver be like, 15 to 20 minutes away. And Dorit goes, I worry about traffic. I worry about it too, Dorit. That's why usually you plan for it. Plan check.
And Teddy's like, thanks for the sorry, but for me, it's like a different kind of person that doesn't even know that they're late. Okay. And then it shows the time as 4:53. And I was like, this is the best storyline of the season so far.
Because this is, by the way, if this is not relatable to every one of us, then you're part of the problem. If you don't relate to this story, you're part of the problem. Because for anyone who has been on the receive, who has been the Teddy in this situation, it's like that thing where like, well, at what point do I bail? And the worst is when you're just about to bail and then someone calls and you're like, fuck, I was just about to bail and now I've got to sit here. And then they make you wait another 20 to 30 minutes just to get there.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's your fault because they've already, oh no, don't leave. I just got into my car. I've started to drive to you. Don't leave. You can't leave. I just started to drive. It's like, well, I already did the driving and I'm here and I've been here.
I have a 20-minute deadline and my friends know it because look, I'm a flaky performer and I'm friends with flaky performers, which means everybody late and they're like this. And so I've instituted a 20-minute rule. And I usually will wait 30, but those people I don't call again. I do not want to stand there waiting for your ass, okay?
Yeah, I used to be late. I used to run late. My friends will always – but I was never like – I don't believe I was ever a 45-minute to an hour late person. I was always like a 10 to 15-minute late person, which is still very annoying, and I don't like that anymore. If ever I'm running really late like that now – you know, there's like a flurry of texts and updates.
Girl, I will text your ass. I will send you my location so you can see my Uber crawling along towards you.
Yeah, the only time it's acceptable to be significantly late to that is if you're going to like a party, a barbecue, or it's like a really – or if you have some sort of like generic plan like, hey, let's get let's go to the Grove later today. Okay, I'll text you when I'm done working out. And then it's like, oh, sorry, the workout took long. If it's like sort of a nebulous plan, it's
you
okay.
See, this is exactly why storylines like this are important. It's 21 minutes in, and we're talking about when lateness is appropriate. You see? It's like fucking magic, this show, I'm telling you.
Well, because this is a really relatable situation. I actually really believe that. It's more relatable than, hey, you weren't nice to me when you were on Dish Nation. Well, you weren't nice to me when you were on Watch What Happens Live. Like, that's not relatable. Sorry.
It's like we've all waited.
Yeah. So
no,
now
don't be sorry. I think it's funny because it is true. It's like the smallest things we can go on forever about. And this is one of them. And we will be for the entire season. I guarantee it.
And I don't know where Teddy lives, but she lives in the hills somewhere. It's not easy to go from the hills to get to Plan Check, which is close to the Grove. And it gets trafficy. And by the way, she was there at 4:00. The traffic has already started in L.A., and the traffic to get home is going to be bad. And I don't know if Dorit is in Beverly Hills or Bel Air. You better believe it's going to take more than, you know, 20 minutes to get to Plan Check.
Yeah, and also, neither one of them eats that much, and one of them's an accountability coach who lost a ton of weight. Why are you going to a burger place? It's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. By the way, yeah, Teddy's an accountability coach. You can't be late with an accountability coach because you know what she's going to do? Hold you accountable. And that's what she did, sort of.
I thought did people's taxes, Teddy. So Kyle is over at her house with her gigantic slobbery dogs everywhere. And she's like,
trying to be Lisa.
It's become my norm, tripping over animals. Like, I don't have swans or horses, but I still have a farm. I'm like, I don't
care.
She's
so quietly competitive. It's hilarious.
Yes. And now she's not wearing her agency hat, but she has Portia wearing her an American woman hat.
Right. And so she's making a sandwich for Portia. And then she's like, I'm calling Lisa Rinna. I'm like, why do you think Portia cares?
Yeah, and Portia does not care. She's like, toodles, mwah, kisses.
Yeah, she's working on her lines for her next commercial audition.
Yeah, she's like taking a fiver for sitting in this scene.
She's like, excuse me, Mom, I'm going to go sit on the counter. So Rinna calls up and she's like, hi, yeah, I'm going to New York. I'm going to be subbing in for Kelly on Live with Ryan and Kelly. Yeah, I almost was Kelly myself. I'm not bitter at all. Regis loved me. Hi.
It was almost me. Regis called me one time and he said, Rinna, I gotta tell ya. You came close, kid. You came close. But it was between Rippa and Rinna. Rinna, Rippa. Rippa, Rinna. Rinna, Rippa. Rin, Rip. Rip, Rin.
I'm glad she got that job. Gosh, she's so good at it. I wouldn't have been as good. I mean, I probably would have been pretty good. I mean, I would have been great at it. Who's kidding? I'm very happy. No regrets. No anger. No bitterness.
So Kyle's like, okay, we'll say hi to Ryan Seacrest. I have a sitcom. And she's like, okay, bye. So at Villa Rosa, Schnooky the fat ponytail dog is a graceless nerd, and I love this dog, okay?
Graceless nerd.
This dog is like, duh, duh.
It's duh, like, duh. I'm Teddy. I'm Teddy.
Schnooky, I love this dog. It's like, doi. Lisa's like, look, darling, a front door. And it's like, whoa! Whoa! It can't see because the hair is so far down its eye. It's huge. It's not like really lap sittable, but it tries anyway. This is my favorite kind of dog.
It's basically in a perpetual state of being Lily Tomlin and Big Business in the bathroom scene. Whoa!
But with Charo hair.
Yeah. I like it. I think we could be friends. You know, we can all go to Elaine's. Elaine? Who's Elaine?
Out speaking of Elaine, Snooki's kind of like Elaine dancing on Seinfeld. It's like just that awkward, jerky, like just so excited. So dogs. So Lisa goes over to her dog store, her new dog store at this point, and she's like, hello, gorgeous orphan dogs. And her assistant guy's like, oh my god, do you have Rico or Chico? Isn't that wedding? Like, there's a Rico and a Chico. Soon we're gonna get a Nico.
I gave my first two buttons on my shirt up for adoption. So basically Lisa's like...
They were put to death, unfortunately.
We found new homes for my buttons. It's great. This business, Vanderpump Dogs, does great things. Finding homes for dogs and the top two buttons on my shirt.
We have cremated my top two buttons. Oh, so sad.
Oh, so sad. There's a button yulin going on right now. It's not right. So Lisa Vanderpump is like, we were going to support a charity called Saving Spot, but we decided to withdraw because things were a little sketchy. One moment, the doorbell's ringing.
So let me see. I want to take the high risk imminently. Oh, yeah, she's like... So we started our own, and I want to take the high risk. Dogs in imminent danger of being killed. Also, the ones that are the cutest. Let the ugly ones die. Because remember when she said, let's take the cutest of the bunch and get them adopted. Like, there's no ugly ones there, okay? It's like dead cute man walking.
You know? Sorry, I'm back. It was a HelloFresh box.
I know, perfect timing. We're on a plane right now. So look, we just got a delivery on a plane.
No, we already said that we had recorded this ahead of time before our flight.
You guys, Crappens 30. You can get your HelloFresh in the air for a discount. Crappens 30, HelloFresh.com.
This would be a good time for you to insert the dynamically inserted ad into our show. Bloop, 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 bloop.
Oh, that was a good musical bed.
That's why I did it.
All right, carry on. Then I have to write down a time code now. Thank you for ruining my flow. Ben.
Hey, I was the one who was mid-sentence. I was like, doorbell. Anyway.
Just like a dog would run towards if it were alive.
Things were a little sketchy with Saving Spot, shall we say?
So I thought that was pretty fishy that she said that sketchy thing. I was like, what does she mean? And why would she even bring it up? Which we find out later. But yeah. She's like, we've saved so many dogs with good genes. It's validated our judgmental, shallow natures.
Yeah. I love having the rescue center, even though it is riddled with emotional turmoil. I was like, what? What do you mean emotional turmoil? Like, are we recreating the Grapes of Wrath in Vanderpump Dogs? Is it like Edith Wharton write this?
While we're talking grapes... Please adopt a Vanderpump Sangria on your way out. So she sees this little furry dog, and she's like, oh, it looks like it! I will fuck you once a year on your birthday. Get it, everybody! Get it!
The dog is like, woof, I'll knock you spark out, woof!
So Kyle arrives at Pally Hotel.
Yes, now this is very exciting, because they went to the Heart and the Hunter, which is the restaurant in the Pally Hotel. And my parents were recently in town, and we went there for breakfast one morning, and we really enjoyed it, and we actually enjoyed it so much we went back. And both times we sat at the same table, and we sat in the same seating arrangement, and I'm proud to announce that Kyle sat where my mom sat, and Erica sat where my dad sat. And I was like, oh my God, it's like my mom and dad. And then my parents became obsessed with the avocado toast there. And guess what Kyle and Erica ordered? The avocado toast. I was like, it's my life. I'm watching my life right now.
Oh, my God. Did your mother street park a Jag?
No, my mom was like, Benjamin, there's a spot. Ben. My dad was like, Benjamin. Benjamin, park right. Ben, why don't you park right here, Benjamin?
The waiter's like, hello, welcome to Heart and Hunter. I'm your waiter, but really, I'm your writer. See? Have classes. Like, who needs those in 2017? I do, because I'm smart. Shut up with your Claire's glasses. So Erica comes in, and she's been robotically programmed to see some stuff today. She's like,
oh, hello. Is that beet juice? Oh, wow. Tokyo, what a whirlwind.
Yeah. Wow, those Renekes, they're really great girls. They're really doing an amazing thing. They do so many things. And Kyle's like, yeah, well, I have two shows in development. I'm like, oh, are your TV shows in vogue? I don't think so. It's not the same as having model daughters. She's Everyone like, knows.
So you're developing Vogue?
She's like, no, it means like TV shows. I'm going to networks.
Networks of Vogues?
No. That make television shows.
Are those the things you read in a line at the grocery store? So I've heard.
No. It's on television.
The YouTube?
No, Erica.
Oh, well, all right. Congratulations anyway, kid.
Tom broke his ankle.
She's like, oh. So we could talk about that instead of my TV shows. And, like, culmination of me finally being able to do something for myself for once without my sister's involvement. That's fine. How's his ankle?
Well, you know, Tom and his ankle, what a brat. Like, he's fine, he needs some surgery, but he's just a complaining, janey 85-year-old, whatever.
I was like, I'm spiritually dead because I've used storylines that aren't really my own to profit. My sisters are upset. So...
Well, did I mention Tom likes Vogue? I'll tell you something.
She's like, okay, great. Thanks for meeting
Kyle's
me.
Kyle's like, do you ever get the feeling that the people who were just sitting here were discussing the merits of the posts? I feel like there was like the family that was here that was just seen the posts and we're still reflecting on it the next morning.
Why is somebody yelling, Benjamin, there's a spot. Benjamin, there's a spot. I'm going to make a show about it and profit. You're like, wait a minute, that was my story.
I'm hearing a faint echo of saying, Benjamin, pull out the chair for your mother.
Kyle's like, well, I would have been telling her that I just sold a show about a younger woman married to a really old guy that finances her YouTube career. And
she, wait a minute.
Hey, I thought you weren't listening to my inner thoughts, Erica.
Avocado toast, Vogue. Okay, good luck.
I just sold a show about Tom's ankle. It's called Hope Splains Eternal.
Sorry, I was muted to blow my nose while I was laughing. That made a really pretty picture over here.
It's not as bad as it sounds.
Oh my God, I'm writing that down and making a show out of it.
Damn it!
So next is Eric at home with Mikey, and Mikey's like, hi, Bash!
Excuse me.
What?
She's not at home.
She's in her office.
Which is just like my home. It's my home away from home. It's my home away from Tom's ankle, all right?
Mikey, I think you were about to say this before I corrected you. But yeah, Mikey comes in. He's like, this jet lag is so real.
It's so real. It's every kind of real of thing. Okay, Matt. And she's like, oh my God. It hits you like 3 days later. This jet lag. It's like jet later lag. It's like there's a lag on the lag. Get it, Mikey?
This lag is everything! Hemispheres!
It's like, by the way, Mr. G had a car accident, but he's fine. And Mikey's like, Mrs. G from Facts of Life? I love that bitch! Is she okay? Where do we send flowers? Where do we send flowers?
Where's Joe?
Tootie must be beside herself, bitch.
That stupid bitch crashing a motorcycle. What? Well, we all know Mrs. Garrett drives a motorcycle. She's a bad bitch.
And Mikey goes, when did you get this call? Like, he's been with you 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, whatever. Could have been worse.
Close to home, by the way. Just a good reminder that anyone can break their ankle, even when you're close to home.
The biggest accidents happened close to home. No, Erica, that's not going to be your ballad. All right, well, I tried.
So he's like, oh my God, so much was running through your mind. And she's like, it was? And he's like, yeah. You were thinking, oh my God, Tom, the love of my life. What's going to happen to that bitch? I hope that bitch is okay. I would give my own soul to save his.
I was thinking that.
You sure were.
Oh, that's right.
I was thinking I would give my own soul to be with Line.
Him.
He's like, yes, you feel things, bitch.
She's like, wow. I thought to myself, can I manage this house alone? Like, this could all be taken away in a second.
Like, well, glad your emotions were stirred by all the monetary things you could lose. Jesus Christ.
Well, I didn't think it was like a gold diggy moment. I actually thought it was, because at first I was like, wow, she's really going on about this ankle. Like, it sucks that he broke his ankle, but like, it's relaxed. It's an ankle. But then, you know, I actually get it. What she was saying was like, you know, it could have been worse. I could have lost him. And then all of a sudden I'm in this world without him and I have all this stuff like to take care of, et cetera. And like, can I do this? What's life like without him? She saw his mortality because she kept on saying,
for the first time, it wasn't superhuman. He was human. It was shocking. It was strange. He wasn't shooting ice out of his hands.
He wasn't transforming into other gorgeous blue women. You know how that goes.
So, she's like,
oh, he'll be okay. I just avoid going home.
And he's like, if you need help, bitch. And she's like,
I would never have you hose that asshole down. He's rich. He could hire his own Mikey.
And he's like, I didn't mean that, bitch. I meant pick up funeral flowers that look fabulous, bitch.
Thanks.
Well, anyway, so then we go, the producers are having fun with the show. They're like, well, nothing's really been happening except that Teddy had to wait a little bit. So let's try to like make it seem like something really, really exciting is happening. So they show us like a sports car driving down the street. They added Foley to it to go like, and then they cut to like stock footage of a police officer driving like, wee, 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 wee. I'm like, thank you for trying to, you know, orchestrate a police chase in the middle of this show. We know you just sort of cobbled it together with sound effects and B-roll, but we appreciate that. I like it.
Dorit's like, did you see that? There was red on top of that police car. The moment of red.
But then it was a blue moment, and then a red moment, and then a blue moment. It just shows fashion is fickle, but guess what? My swimwear is for never.
So they also showed a close-up of what looked like bulletproof vests, which I was like, what is about to happen? But it turns out to be weighted vests because Teddy and Kyle are meeting to work out together. And Kyle's yes. like, am I going to die here? the guy at the front desk is like, hey.
Yeah. He was one of those people who's like excited to greet someone to the point where it's like, you be Kyle. Okay.
Hey. Okay.
Hi. Well, you have to say, like, if you normally would have greeted someone. Do it again.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, now you be Kyle.
No. You.
Okay, we'll start
You're not
over,
yet
start
ending
over,
me the way I want over. You to. Like if you were to meet someone for the first time, what would you say?
At a fucking exercise desk, hi. And then I would scan my...
Hi. Well, okay, fine. Hello. No, basically, he's
hi.
Like a sort of guy...
Here, I'll do it again. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Oh, good. Me too.
Good. one of those person that starts saying good before you finish saying how are you. That's what I was trying to get at. And I was hoping you were going to say how are you. But what I've learned is that when you go to exercise classes, you don't ask how the instructors are doing. That's what I've learned.
Well, not the front desk people. You don't want to ask them how they're doing. Trust. I've made that mistake before. Sometimes I'll answer you. Girl, keep it to yourself. I got my own stress.
It's I always say, hi, how's it going? And then I always when I leave Ubers, I always go, they always like, have a great night. I'm like, you too. See you later. And I'm like, I'm never going to see them again. But I always say, see you later. Why do I do that?
Yeah, because you never know. We're all interconnected. You never know, yeah. You know. It's like, you know what? I'm going to see you later. And that means maybe we'll both be alive in a few months and run into each other again, which is positivity.
It's not goodbye. It's see you later. So Kyle and Teddy do this this exercise class where there's like climbing sort of thing, whatever. And Kyle's thing was on the hardest setting. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm such a goofball. I can't believe that. Whatever.
So they go to this health food place called like Beamly or something. And on the front, it says Superfood Porridge Bar. And Kyle's like, oh, my God, I love these places. No, you don't. Nobody loves so Superfood Porridge Bars. It's like the Three Bears being fat shamed, you know?
Superfood Porridge Bar. That's like the worst thing I've ever heard.
And Kyle's looking at the calories on the back of the juices, and she's like, 400 calories? What is this, a fat burger in a glass? People don't drink.
Because if it is, I'd like a free one, please.
Do you want to sponsor a party?
Yeah. Superfood Porridge Bar. SFPB. San Francisco Police Department. So
Kyle's like, oh, I heard about Dorit. She said she was 20 minutes late and you freaked out. And she's like, ah, wow, I'm Teddy. And Teddy is better at numbers than Dorit because she was 55 minutes late. So I don't know if she's trying to change the narrative or if she's into hashtag fake news. Like, Teddy, stop trying to make yourself more interesting with political hot button words, okay?
Yeah, Teddy is doing the thing, you know, because she's like holding her hands right in front of her, which for some reason I just always notice how she always holds her hands. And she's basically like, I mean, I wasn't gonna make a big thing about it because I'm Teddy, but now Dorit's talking to Kyle about it, so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna make like a little bit slightly larger thing about it than what I would have done before. So so she's talking to Kyle about it, and basically is like, no, I was there at 4 o'clock and I waited 53 minutes. And Kyle's like, oh, okay. So meanwhile, Kyle loves this because she's going to be right in the middle of this stupid drama. And she's just like getting right, doing what she does best, which is stirring the pot.
Yes. And she's already on Dorit's side, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, guess what? I heard a nanny. Kyle's like, I'm rich. So Rinna goes to this hotel in New York. And the lady's like, hello, welcome to the Andaz. And Rinna's like, wow, hello, hi, oh, hello, room, hello. And she starts bowing like she's still in Tokyo. And she's like, well, yeah. Thank you, well, wow, hi.
That bow was her way of saying, I'm going to give you every single kind of visual cue to indicate that I want you to leave me right now because I need to get wiping down the suite. It's a big suite. It's going to take 45 minutes, and you need to leave right now.
Harigato muki tuk tuks. Did I say it right? Wow. Wowigato. Wow, wowigato. So, of course.
People doing coke in the bathroom of this hotel?
So she whips out the germ wipes and they start playing clown mystery Rinna germ wipe music and split screening it with the last time we saw her wiping down a hotel room, which is hilarious.
And then the time before that.
Yes.
It was like three. It was an episode of 24 that was going back in time.
Bleep. Bleep, 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 bleep. Hi. Hi.
Jack.
Hi.
Hi. How are you, Jack? Jack, can we FaceTime in? We're closing in on Al-Fayed. We need to do this right now. Of course. Jack. Hi. Hi. No, just give me the coordinates, Rinna. Okay, the coordinates. Let's see. I'm sure they're in here somewhere. Hold on, Jack. By the way, I saw Regis the other day. He says hi. I need the coordinates, Rinna. Hi.
Just based on numerology alone, would you have chosen Rinna or Rippa? Be honest, Jack. Be honest. Arigato, Jack. Oh, wait. Hold on. Jack, you there? Oh, I was wiping down the phone and I hit the hang up. Damn it, Jack.
I think we lost him. I think he got through the perimeter. Oh, well.
I was almost part of 24, and then Jack died mysteriously. So she sits down and FaceTimes Harry Hamlin, and he's like, hello. Oh, hi. Hello. Hi, Harry Hamlin. Hi. Hello. Hi.
And he's, yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, she's like, I've been getting texts all day that you're mean. Are you being mean, Harry Hamlin?
And he's basically like, well, I was in the middle of an investment meeting, and the girls just went up and left and went to dinner, didn't tell me where they were going. And that's just not acceptable.
He actually, and I only got this on rewind because I was trying to get a screenshot, but he goes, I was in the middle of an investor meeting dinner, and they just got up and got onto their boat. What?
Because they have, like, an island in Canada, I think. They're on, like, a lake.
I guess it's just such a funny way to put it. He's like, they just got up from dinner and got onto their boat and left.
Well, did they do their laundry? He's like, well, we did half of it. They put it in the washer and didn't dry as they got a wet sheet now, but it'll be done in 30 minutes.
She's like, that's right, Harry Hamlin. You're in charge, Harry Hamlin. Now put Delilah on. Hi, Delilah. Hello. Hi. And she's like,
I heard you learned how to do laundry today. Delilah's like, Mom, that is so rude. I know how to do laundry. And if you guys are here, I'm going to take advantage of that. That's all, Mom. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I know how to do it, Mom. You put the stuff in a machine, and then you put, like, soap, and then you press a button, and then, like, you listen to it, and it's like, brr, 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 brr. And then I don't know what happens after that because someone else finishes it. But you know what I mean, Mom? She's like, so I don't want to raise assholes, okay? That's my point. We make our kids do half of their laundry so that they're only half assholes. I'm winning! So, let's see what else.
So now they go, so now, now Kyle goes to Frida, which is a restaurant in Beverly Hills. And
with one eyebrow.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just, you go in there, you come in with two, you leave with one. Join together. Dorit comes in and she's like, hello, Foxy. Hello, Foxy. Guys, do I see a fox over there or a hound? I think I see a fox. Fox, Foxy, Fox. Fox, Fox, Fox.
You're so foxy, it could be your own news network, Carl.
And Carl's fox like, is having a moment.
Guess what foxes are? Red! They're red, Carl.
And Kyle's like, oh my God, Dorit, you changed your hair. Which I think they just must be rearranging the order in which they shoot things and then in the show. Because at this point, everyone's seen Dorit's short hair. But everyone keeps marveling over how it's different. And Dorit's like, well, I love changing my hair. You're never going to see me with the same hairstyle for 30 years.
And then she like winks at the camera.
Wink.
Burn. So you didn't comb your hair today. So you've got one up on somebody. It's just like a mess, her hair. She's like, it's different, right? So Kyle's like, what would you do if I left and said you took too long? Because she has that squeal laugh, too.
Yeah, she has like, yeah.
She's like, And Dorit's like, can we talk about that, Kyle? Tilly, she texted me. I took 6 minutes. She's like, well, she said it was an hour. The fact that she told you an hour when it was 6 minutes is unfair to me. It's unfair to the truth. It's unfair to daddy time, Kyle.
Kyle, that's an unfair recollection of the truth, Kyle. I mean, she texted me at 6 minutes. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm like, well, even if you were supposed to meet at 4:30, you still called at 4:53 and you were still 20 minutes late from there. You still had 20 minutes to go, which meant that she still would have been waiting for 40 more minutes. And on top of that, then you'd only have 10 minutes until you hit the 5:30 end of the window, Dorit. So, like, you can massage however you want to, but if you only have a one-hour window, you don't, like, aim to get there at 5:20, okay?
And then she does that typical Dorit thing where she's like, well, I was under the impression that I was only a little late. So if that's what you thought, then it makes it okay, you know? Like, well,
yeah,
I was
you're still
a mistake.
Late.
And she's like, nah, Kyle, just know that if you're ever late with Teddy, she'll leave you.
like, her leaving when I'm on the way to meet her is a little abrupt, I would say. I think it's a little abrupt. I mean, is it really so hard to wait an hour and 20 minutes for me? I don't think so.
And Kyra's like, well, look, I would never wait an hour for anybody, okay? Like, you don't break up a friendship for 20 minutes now, 56. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. What are you doing with yourself? I love Red. And Kyra's like, oh, I'm signing 2 new shows today when I leave here. And she's like, signing? What are you going to sign your name to them? Where are these shows? Are they Red? It's like networks. Shows on networks. Are those magazines, Kyra? No. Fucking TV shows.
So you have a show on a social media network? Is that what you're saying? No, no, no. She's like, well, I'm going to cheer you on like your own mother would. And Kyle just starts to bawl because her own mother has never cheered her on before.
Yeah, poor thing. This whole thing is so sad. Well, her mother obviously is, you know, on the bottom shelf of a bookshelf or whatever. But the sisters are mad. And Kyle, I'm glad that she at least kind of admitted some of what's going on here, because she's hurt, which I would totally get, because no one's happy for her success. But I'm sure if you ask the sisters why they're not supportive, Kyle's husband kind of went behind the back, stole a bunch of clients, according to online sources, and made his own company, which
is now
Kathy.
Doing extremely well, by the way.
Yes.
The agency is probably like a prime competitor with Hilton and Highland.
And then she's taking her life story, which was all of their life stories, and she's profiting off of it, and now in multiple ways, and not offering them any kind of say in anything, which, look, she's the one out there selling it, so I don't think that they're entitled to it either.
They could have done it too. They could have sold something too.
Yes, I suppose so, but I don't want Kyle, you know, I mean, come on. Kyle's like, well, if you sell a story called, like, Living with Ronnie, just because we knew each other one time and weren't even like, Ronnie, do you want to help or partner up? I'd be like, that's not fair.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm like, okay, as I scratch off Living with Ronnie. Like, okay, taking notes.
It's like the most boring show ever.
Living with Ronnie is my show. No, I'm just thinking, here's the thing. I feel like sometimes all the normal rules are off when it comes to this family, because they are a dysfunctional family that was raised with a mom who wanted them all to be famous, and they all are very self-interested. That's the impression that I get. I think their family is wildly fascinating, and I think that I don't know. I don't. Here's the thing: it's hard for me to really, really weigh in when I don't know what Kyle's conversations were like with Kathy and Kim, because Kathy and Kim are not saints by any stretch of the imagination. Okay, because I can imagine Kyle being like, oh my God, I, you know, like John Wells is like, we should do a show together about like growing up in LA or childhood, whatever. I thought it'd be fun. And I would not be surprised if a version of the reality was, yeah, no, you should totally do that. That'd be fun. Cause they're like, whatever, it's not going to happen. It's stupid Kyle. She never gets anything off the floor. You know, we know the real star is Kim, and I'm the one, and Kathy's like, and I'm the responsible one around here. And then Kyle actually gets something going, and they're like, wait, whoa, what's going on? Oh, you're just going to do this behind our backs? And Kyle's probably like, wait, no, I like talked to you guys about it, but you guys didn't seem interested. And then they're like, oh, fuck you. And then, you know, in my mind, I wouldn't be surprised if that's how it played out.
Maybe. But I mean, we won't. You're right in that we won't know what goes on behind the scenes. But the facts are she's selling a show about her life, which she's totally entitled to do. But her life also had to do with being, you know, the sister of a celebrity with the stage mother that's based on her mother and stuff like that. So I'm not sure
But I will say
that I'm usually a hater of Kyle. And for whatever reason, I'm finding her perfectly enjoyable this year. Why? Who knows?
Well, I support Kyle. And I think that she has two sisters who've never really been happy for her. And I think that Kyle has been in a situation where she's always had to take care of Kim. She's just had to be sort of the runt of the litter. And yet at the same time, also been given this obligation that you have to be the responsible one. And Kathy got a free pass because she's their half sister. So it's not the same. And, you know, Kim always lords all this stuff over Kyle. And I feel like any success Kyle has had, as she said, she's had to share with the sisters. Right. And I just can see this as being, like, I just think it's not as simple as, oh, you're writing something about the whole family and you're not, like, you know, you're going off and doing it and you're not including us. there's like a little Cinderella and the stepsisters going on, and I think that's tough on Kyle, and I'm sympathetic to it.
Yeah,
I don't have it going on in my life. That's not why I'm not sympathetic like that. I'm just
sympathetic is if it was
well, empathetic.
Empathetic is putting yourself in someone else's shoes or whatever.
Then I just feel for her then.
Yeah, well, that's allowed, you know.
I just feel like she has a shitty situation, and it's just never, ever going to get easier because they're all fucked up.
Yeah, they're always going to be fighting or whatever.
She's not invited to Christmas.
Well, I mean, if you feel like you... I mean, I don't even need to go on about it anymore. Like, I'm taking Kathy aside. I mean, that's when I have to stop and say, Ronnie, you're taking the side of Kathy Hilton. So maybe you need to just rethink things and just shut up for a minute.
Yeah, Kyle is the one
with a
dysfunctional family going on. You know, I hate to break it, the news there, but...
Yeah. Let's see. She's trying to talk about her shows, and Dorit's like, Reed! And she's going to sell two more shows, and they're also about her, her life growing
different,
up.
Yeah,
different things. So I was like, yikes! So she puts it in the way of, like, you know, my husband for years worked for my brother-in-law, and then went off on his own, like people do, you know... It's complicated, which is what I brought up in the beginning, was I'm glad she's at least talking about it like that, even if it's probably smoothing it over or whatever. I'm glad she brought it up.
And but don't forget, like, that these are petty sisters also. Don't forget that they didn't invite Kyle to some wedding. Remember that one time?
Yes.
Don't forget that.
Yeah, well, Ronnie. That was right after Mauricio was starting his own business.
But would you, I mean, could you imagine not inviting your sister to your daughter's wedding because of this, the real estate bullshit? You smile and
if she took major clients and see, you know, behind your back and like.
But how many, I mean, yeah, but, well, I mean, I just don't know
if that's
clients.
True. This is just shit we're reading on the internet. So it's like stupid to even fight about.
I'm sure
we'll have all season to revisit.
Oh yeah, we'll have years to revisit. My favorite thing was that. So Kyle starts to sob because no one ever is really happy for Kyle and her family. So for Dorit to say, I'm gonna cheer you on like your own mother would. So Kyle starts to sob, and then Dorit starts to sob because she can't help make it about herself too.
And Kyle's like, "Is my makeup running?" And she's like, "I'll let you borrow my glam squad, lady. You didn't even comb your hair, so
yeah.
How about just offer to be on time for a couple of dates in a row?"
Speaking of glam squads, we then see Rinna getting her hair done by, I believe, one of the Bee Gees. I could be wrong. Isn't that what the surviving member? Wasn't that Barry Gibb doing her hair?
Yes, and makeup? He's like total ass kiss celebrity hairstylist. He's like, "You're everything. They need you on this show. Regis loves you." She's like, "Well, what are you going to do with my hair?" He's like, "I'm doing Lisa Rinna." "Okay, Lisa Rinna in the rain? Lisa Rinna on the run in a magazine? Which decade, Lisa Rinna?" He's like, "It's all the same. Just stay still, you gorgeous, gorgeous ripper. You gorgeous ripper."
Yeah. Browns, coppers. I know the way it goes.
Rinna's like, "I was almost on that show. I mean, look, Kelly is the perfect fit. Perfect! so perfect. I'm going to pee on her chair." "I mean, I've done the show many times. Never with Kelly Ripa, oddly enough. But now I'm doing it with Ryan. But I'm sitting in her chair. I'm going to sit in her goddamn motherfucking chair. Arigato, hello!
Hey, you know who's a real stand-up guy? Michael Strahan. Yeah. What do you think about that, Kelly? Yeah. He's a real hustler. I like a hustler. Right, Kelly? We all like Michael Strahan. Right, Kelly? So then they show footage of Rinna co-hosting, and Ryan Seacrest is like, "Whoa, Lisa Rinna, I feel like I've known you forever." And she goes, "You have." I was like, that's a good thing to say.
That's a perfect thing to say, because you know they have, too. Like, Ryan Seacrest's mouth is so big, it's like he can unhinge his jaw and die like Pac-Man now. Call back to a show 3 hours ago. 3 days
three
ago.
3 days ago. Yeah. So then, meanwhile, we then see, it looks like the bottom half of the Stranger Things monster, but it's actually Dorit in purple boots showing up at Lisa's house.
Lisa!
Guys, purple's having a moment, because you know what? Red and blue, together, they make purple. That's what I learned from the police officer. So she shows up, she gets Lisa, and then we cut over to Red O, which is having, oh my God, Ronnie, it all comes together. Red O.
Yes.
So,
it's right across the street from the Crappy Awards.
That's right. Oh my god, that's gonna be so fun. So
the red O is having a red O-ment.
That restaurant dropped the M from moment, and also the ment. It just says O, but it really means red moment. I know it.
I don't want to eat at a place called Red Moment.
So Kim, it's. Did I say Kim? Wait, no. Oh my god, my brain is fully melting Pac-Man style. Call back to 2 minutes ago, which was a call back to three episodes ago. It's Camille, it's Teddy, and it's Kyle, not Kim. And they're all hanging out.
I always love a Kim in a scene, Kyle.
I was like, Kim's not here, because I was like, Kim Zolciak? I was like, my brain.
So Camille's Kyle like, turns to rent is delayed or whatever.
Hi, oh, this guacamole is delicious. Hi, guacamole.
And Kyle's like, look, Camille and Teddy, you guys can talk now because I'm sure at dinner you couldn't hear anything. Kyle's like just sitting there with a wooden spoon ready to stir some shit.
Yeah, she's like, so Teddy, have you talked to Dorit lately? Full on shit stirring.
And Teddy's like, I'm Teddy.
I'm Teddy. I couldn't hear anything.
So then we get a crosscut with Vanderpump and Dorit having lunch together at something Blanca. Now, someone posted a while ago this picture of Lisa eating. Well, a couple of guests. One was her putting salt on something, and it was just like, bam, 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 like horrible. And they're like, what a heathen. And then someone else posted a screenshot of Lisa holding a fork like in her fist, like fist. And they're like, how does a woman who owns this many restaurants eat like this, you know? And so now I'm noticing this stuff because people keep pointing it out on Facebook. And it's the first thing I noticed is Vanderpump holding her fork like she's about to stab somebody with it, you know? So funny. So petty. But so
funny. Now I'm gonna see that every single time Lisa Vanderpump eats an iceberg salad.
You will.
A
She's
wedge.
Like, so, Dorit, what about that having another baby thing? Is that why you're wearing such a large shirt?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I've got two toddlers at home, plus PK, who's pretty much like a toddler, plus three nannies, four housekeepers, five exercise gurus, six minions, seven partridges in the pear tree, eight rings of gold. Dorit, you're going the wrong direction. You're supposed to count down, Dorit, down to what ends. 12 guys, 13 pilots I'm going to pitch to Kyle, 14 broken clocks, 17 red moments.
So to answer your question about babies, would it be too soon to say never? Get it, Lisa?
I'll never say never, but I will say never.
Vanderpump's like, I could stab a buffalo with this fork, but instead I'll ask, so, you had lunch with Carl?
Surely you didn't have any formative moments together. You didn't bond in any certain sort of way that would perhaps be premature for your friendship. Surely not.
Surely all you did was have a laugh. Am I correct?
And just like, a simple laugh.
Relax, Elisa. She was very, 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 very upset. Very, very, very. And she's like, really? Really, very, very? She's like, very, very, really, very, Lisa.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, but I am for real. No, she's like, well, I do feel bad about Kyle, that she has such petty sisters, but, you know, she wants to share things with her sisters, and she has no one to share with. It's almost as if Kyle herself is a broken bird spawned in my hands.
Didn't she say something like, well, that doesn't surprise me because she doesn't have a mother. The thing that's surprising is not that she's upset, but to be so open with you when she doesn't even...
It's strange that she has a connection with you when we all know that you're just an empty vessel. I mean, you're basically like one of those OXO container things you put your cereal in. Did she put her emotional cereal in you? Did she?
Kyle needs to be warmed up for years and years before she cries about her mother. I've been a seat plug-in that's never been unplugged. I've warmed that ass for years. What have you done, Dorit? And she's like, Dorit's... well, we've become closer, believe it or not. We've bonded. We have a connection.
The music goes boom. This was like when Portia accused Candy of having a sex dungeon. It was like boom.
Yeah, like that big drum that's like boom. Take that, Vanderpump. And she's like, oh. I'm surprised that she was so vulnerable, if this is the truth.
Tell me, what are your thoughts on broken birds? I love them. Out! Get out of this restaurant and never come back.
This veterinarian only has a non-compete clause on this block. Get out of West Hollywood.
Go! Go, Dorit, go! Dorit looks back like, are you sure this is what you want? He's like, go! I don't want to see your face around here.
But don't you want me to talk about Teddy? All right, sit down. Now, that's a bird that's broke.
Teddy, did you say? Go on. What happened with Teddy?
So then cut back to Teddy, and Teddy's like, I'm irritated that she lied about 20 minutes because it was like 54 minutes, which... you could have seen if you were looking at the Chiron below my eye swatter.
Okay? And Camille's just like eating her food and being like, reverse mwah, reverse mwah.
She's like, I love petty shit. Tell me, girl.
Yeah. She's like, I've been playing nice for 7 years now. Let's get dirty.
Hi, welcome back to season one, Camille. I was like, ding, ding, ding. Finally, we all win.
Yes. So now, you know, Teddy is doing this thing where it's like, look. You know, like, I texted her, so I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally at 4:36, I texted her, like, hey, I'm worried about you, where are you? And then it cuts to Dorit being like, at 4:36, it's awfully soon. I mean, I just left the house at 4:44, and she's already texting me at 4:36 saying, where are you? I'm concerned about you. She seemed pissed. I said, I'm on my way, I can be there in 10 minutes. I'm like, no, we actually heard you, and it was... 15 to 20 minutes at best. Remember when you said, I worry about traffic.
My driver said that. So, and Teddy's like, first of all, we're supposed to meet at 4. And second of all, who would give a general hour to meet at a restaurant? Who would say, let's meet between 4 and 5? People have babysitters, okay?
Yeah, and then Camille's just, like, lapping this all up. She's loving it. And Dorit is, it's going back and forth very quickly. And Dorit's being like, honestly, Lisa, I don't like that Teddy's exaggerating times. You know, I don't mind if you say, hey, I'm annoyed that you're late, but don't exaggerate the times. I'm like, you are literally exaggerating, reverse exaggerating. You are doing exactly what you did last year. Please keep doing it.
Yes, she's like, don't make me out to be a religious. I'm like, oh my God, as you don't understand time. So Kyle's like, well, she said 6 minutes late. And Camille goes, 6 minutes? Was she drinking or?
And then it's a bottomless pit of bullshit. You know, it reminds me of the morally corrupt Pharaoh. Oh, sorry, Kyle. I didn't realize you were there.
She's like, you know what I like to do when people upset me? I give them gifts. And Kyle's just like looking down at her pasta. She's like, I'm going to give her a gag.
It's a gag. And then I'm going to give her a children's book that says, How to Stop Calling Your Friends Cut Fitnesses.
And Vanderpump is not even taking it from Dorit. She's like, well... a friend would give you a break, but some people have differences of how clocks work. You know, you do have to see that, darling. And then the guy comes over. He's like, you want more wine? And there's a huge pause. And Vanderpump's looking at her like, are you a Schwartz or are you a Gigi? Tell me now. And she's like, well, I'd love one, but, you know, it can go to my head. And she goes, like the other night when you called Camille a stupid bloop.
And Drew's like, oh, that was a stupid joke. That's all. I call all my best friends C words. I'm like,
Cut to Camille. I was embarrassed. I was humiliated. And Dave was there.
Not in front of Dave. Yeah, it was Dave. And who's sad? Where's Mauricio to finish my thought? It was Dave.
Are you talking about the Dave?
I was talking about
the
Dave
from Wendy's, right? Because I love that Dave.
And Square.
I made a sitcom about him.
Burgers. And so upsetting. So Camille's mad and she's like, I think that Dorit talks too much. And Kyle's like, whoa, listen. You don't make those accusations. In my family, we've dealt with that. You don't make those accusations. I'm like, yes, if someone's being wasted and calling you a C-word, yes, it's totally fine to say that they drink too much. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Kyle's like, you don't accuse someone of that. You write a sitcom about it. So,
you talk about it behind their backs and then wait about 20 years and finally just accuse them of it in a limousine and see what they come back at you with.
And P.S. I'm on ER. So Kyle's like, maybe it's her British thing. And she's like, I don't care if she's British. The C word. It's a nasty, nasty, horrible word. And Carl goes, well, Vanderpump is British, but even she would care about being called the C word.
And Camille's like, we're talking about Crane, right? Like Fraser Crane. Terrible word, Crane.
How dare you suggest that, Kyle? She's like, what did I say now? What did I say now? So Vanderpump's like, I would, if you said I was the C word, I would say, I know you are, but what is Lawler? But, you know, not everyone is so tough. And Dorit's like, well, I don't have a problem with Camille. Who's Camille? I don't even know her. Is that the woman who's insignificantly insecure without Fraser Crane?
Are we talking about tea? I do love Camille tea. Darling, that's chamomile.
So Vanderpump's like, look, you've been read the right act. I told you Red is back. And Vanderpump's like, look, from her side, Dave was there. And she's like, oh no, Dave was there, Lisa.
I didn't even see him. I couldn't get past Camille's giant hair, that stupid cut fitness.
She goes, oh Lisa, why must I keep putting my foot in my mouth? And Vanderpump's like, because you put everything else in there. Wah! Get it? That was my version of calling you a C-word, because we're friends and it doesn't mean anything.
And meanwhile, back at Red O, hi, hello, ladies. Guess what? I'm already back from my hosting gig at the show I probably should have gotten before, Kelly Ripa. Hi, hi. Is it too late for me to drop a bomb on this show? No? Guess what? Ken assaulted someone.
Also, classic Rinna. That is so yeah. Her. She's like, hi, everyone. Hi, good to be here. So-and-so cheated. It's like, whoa, can we order? She's like, here's the work I've got to get done, everybody. Okay, check, please. I just had water. I'm not paying for this.
Well, she's the hardest working woman in show business, you know? She's like, gets off a plane and she's like, oh, Kyle stirred the shit about Teddy and Dorit having a disagreement over who was late. Okay, let me show you how you real-stir this shit. Ken assaulted someone at a dog charity. Yes.
And
yes.
Kyle goes, oh, assaulted? And she goes, yeah, like, I mean, I don't know what happened. I guess, like, threw her up against the wall or, I don't know, beat her with a baseball bat or, I don't know, hired an assassin to poke her with little tiny knives. I don't know. The blog didn't say. And Kyle's like, Ken would never lay a hand on a woman, ever. And the editors like her because they didn't cut to Ken grabbing Yolanda's arm. When she's like, yeah. How dare you beat me, Ken?
Get off my arm and hosen. So that was pretty much where it ended.
Yes.
The bombshell cliffhanger that Ken may have assaulted someone, and it's in the news, and Rinna's talking about it. It's going to be a war.
It's going to be so good.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Everyone, thank you for listening. This week is a little bit different. You might have noticed that yesterday we had a Married to Medicine recap. It's because we're doing Vanderpump Rules in Boston tomorrow night, Thursday night. And Jersey, instead of doing Jersey this Thursday, we're doing that at our live show on Saturday night. So that'll be posted over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, as long as you're, if you're subscribed to Watch What Happens, the episodes are just going to come rolling into your iPhone or whatever you're listening to. Honestly, just keep an eye on the episode descriptions. All the shows will be covered.
Yes, everybody. We sure love you. Talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.